Hello, Wasteland Wanderers, and welcome to the sixth episode of Level Up, the ultimate podcast for all things gaming. I'm your host, Cece Odenbaugh, and today we're going to explore one of the most iconic, immersive, and beloved universes in gaming history, the world of Fallout. Now, if you've played a Fallout game, you'll know the feeling. Stepping out of the vault for the first time, seeing the desolation of the post-apocalyptic world stretch out before you, and knowing that every decision you make from here on out could either save or destroy what's left of civilization. But for those of you who aren't as familiar, or maybe just curious to dive a little deeper into this universe, stick with me. Today we'll explore how this game universe came to be and what makes it stand out and why I love it so much. So, what exactly is the Fallout universe? Well, to start, Fallout is set in a world where retrofuturism meets the horrors of the nuclear war. So it imagines what the future might look like if the mid-20th century Cold War anxieties had been right and the bombs actually dropped. The setting is defined by the strange mix of 1950s optimism about technology and the brutal reality of survival in a nuclear wasteland. So a lot of the premise for these Fallout games is that you're a person trying to survive in this world where bombs have been dropped. A lot of the science in the world isn't what it used to be. So a lot of, like, for instance, a lot of the bad guys in the game are either based on experiments that have happened because of people just playing with genes, or because the radiation from the nuclear bombs basically just created these monstrous creatures. So for instance, we'll see in the game you have rad scorpions, which are basically just scorpions that have quadrupled in size and are now the size of a human being, and they crawl around and they're really bad critters. So a lot of these bad guys come from just the bombs dropping and their mutation just being crazy. So the franchise of Fallout began in 1997 with the original Fallout game. It was just called Fallout, and it was developed by Interplay Productions. Fallout was a spiritual successor to the Wasteland series, which is a lesser-known game from 1988, which had already explored the idea of a post-nuclear world. But what made Fallout so unique was its role-playing game elements, which allowed players to make meaningful choices that affected the outcome of the story. So you could either play as a good guy and choose a lot of the good options in the speech categories when you're talking to other characters and the world ends up better for it, or you can play as an evil character, make quote-unquote bad decisions, and affect the universe that way. But what is unique about what Fallout does is that it introduced people to special. So SPECIAL, which is the system that stands for strength, perception, endurance, charisma, intelligence, agility, and luck. So this system is crucial to how you develop your character throughout each game. So basically, the first 5 seconds of you entering in whatever that little blurb of here's where we are in Fallout and you create your character, the special stats is kind of what dictates how you play your character. So for instance, if you want to be somebody that's very speechy and manages to convince people of certain things or intimidate people, you want to be a very charismatic player, you're going to put a lot of your beginning points into charisma rather than the other ones like endurance or strength, because you don't need them. But maybe you want to be a nifty little sharpshooter. You can put a bunch of points into perception and luck rather than the other ones. So the system can really determine how you play the game, what your strengths are versus what your weaknesses are, and you can kind of build on your character based off of that. But the game's critical success of the first game really led to the creation of sequels, spinoffs, and of course the shift in developers from Interplay to Bethesda Game Studios, who took the reins starting with Fallout 3 in 2008. So there's Fallout 2, and then every game after that was developed by Bethesda Game Studios. So Fallout 3 was developed in 2008, And this transition is key to understanding the evolution of the series, because Bethesda Game Studios kind of took what Interplay Games did and kind of bumped it up a notch, basically, because they designed a lot of the games to have a lot more in-depth than I think what the Interplay people, I mean, in a good way, because Interplay, it was an older game. Well, yeah, the ones that Interplay developed were older games. So you might've heard me talking about like the point and click. So basically you're kind of looking at an overview. You use your cursor, you click to a spot and your character goes to it, versus Fallout 3, what Bethesda did with it is they put you in first-person POV. So now you are the character actually interacting with other characters. So that was kind of a big pivotal point in changing the Fallout games. There are a lot of other changes, but that was kind of the bigger one, because it kind of led to this transition of basically every other game being first-person POV. Let's take a step back and talk about the world of Fallout. So this series takes place primarily in the US, and each game explores a different region of the country, but all within the same overarching narrative of the life after the Great War, which was the nuclear conflict that decimated the world in the year 2077. So basically, if you take what today's world is, but flash forward to 2077, bombs dropped, kapoosh, world destroyed. But a lot of the people either mutated and survived, I mean, because humanity does survive, so that's the precipice of the game. The war itself only lasted about 2 hours, but Fallout, both literal and figurative, has lasted for centuries. So the game is only, I think it has future plans to be developed into other areas of the world. I know that there was recently a mod developed for Fallout London, which basically takes the base game of Fallout 4 and they changed a lot of the characters, a lot of the story, and put that into Fallout, put it into the London world. But predominantly, the United States is where the game is. So different games take place in different areas of the map, but the stories all intermingle with one another. So what happened in Fallout 1 and Fallout 2 impacts you in Fallout 3. Not necessarily the choices you made, but just the events and the history of what happened correlate to what you're doing then. So, the Fallout games, of course, are the vaults. So, the iconic vaults are central to the world. The vaults were built by Vault-Tec, which are these underground bunkers, which were designed to shelter select groups of people from the nuclear bombs. Or so it seems. In reality, these vaults were often sinister social experiments. So, for example, in Fallout 3, you learn that the vault you start out in was designed to never open, which basically traps its inhabitants underground for generations. In Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 11 holds a dark secret about how residents were forced into a kind of democratic horror show where they had to sacrifice one member every year to preserve the rest. So these vaults, when designed, so basically the whole start of how Vault-Tec managed to create these vaults, because you might be wondering, how the heck did they get away with this? Basically, Vault-Tec had portrayed these vaults to be, here's a safe place for your family when the bombs drop, because there was that inevitable doom before the bombs actually dropped. This is a safe place for your family, please come in, you register, put your name down, you'll be let in, bada bing, bada boom. But actually, they were just experiments. So there's vaults in every game, whether or not you start, most of the time you start out in a vault, you yourself are a vault dweller, and that's your story. You go into the outworld, and you influence all these events in the game. But I think the only one that doesn't have you start out in a vault is Fallout New Vegas, which is interesting. But basically, these vaults all intermingle with one another. So there's so many vaults that you go into just as a character, just exploring the map. But for example, there were a bunch of vaults where a vault messed around with a person's DNA and made clones of a person. Gary was the name of the person. And I say that because when you enter the vault, all you hear is, Gary. That's the only thing that the Garys say. But they messed around. There was another vault that messed around with sound, like that background sound. It basically drove people insane, so they killed one another. It's pretty cool because in the Fallout TV show series, which just came out a little bit ago, highly recommend. It is hysterical. I love it so much. Thought it was going to be a flop, but I'm glad that it succeeded. Anyway, they kind of delve into the vaults that were mentioned in the history of the other vault games, but weren't necessarily explored in the games, but they explored them in the TV show. And basically that whole premise is there were three vaults that were kind of built next to each other. And one of those vaults, this is definitely a spoiler, so just be warned. I won't give it all away, but basically those for three vaults traded people, and that's how they survived. There, of course, it's a vault, so there's bad things that happen. Won't give that away. But it's very interesting. I really liked how they brought those that history of vaults that were mentioned, but not necessarily explained of what happened, and they explore that a lot more. But these vaults, big no-nos. Nobody likes them. So why does the world of Fallout resonate with players so much? Well, it's part of the stark contrast between the lighthearted 1950s aesthetic and the grim, hopeless reality of the nuclear fallout. It's a world where you hear cheerful music while scavenging through crumbling, irradiated ruins. The humor is dark, the choices are often morally gray, and the consequences are heavy. So it's definitely a reflection on the world we are now. So what happens when technology progresses faster than our morality? What happens when our world fears about war and conflict come true? So that's a reason why I think Fallout is just a great atmosphere, is because it plays into the fears of what, I mean, we even now, while we aren't in a war currently, there are other places that are, and just the what ifs of what might have happened slash what might will, might happen. But that's why I think it's just so interesting, because somehow Fallout mixes that kind of horror and dark brutality of what might happen with the world with characters that are freaking hilarious. I mean, again, if you watch the Fallout TV show, you might be like, why are they playing such happy music when there's combat going on and people are killing one another? Because that's just kind of the way of Fallout. I think if Fallout didn't have that kind of humorous trope of characters being silly and reacting and being like, well, that was stupid, or you teasing about whatever, it would definitely just be a horror-based series. And I think that they added another dimension, another level on top of that by adding that humor, just integrating it into the game is pretty bomb.com. That brings me to one of the most important aspects of the Fallout universe, and it's the storytelling. So from Fallout to Fallout 4 and even Fallout 76, the games are packed with stories that explore humanity's resilience, the cost of survival, and the various ways societies try and often fail to rebuild after disaster. So it's kind of the repeated story of people are they're just trying to survive. They are out here in this world where the ground doesn't grow anything and water is completely irradiated and you can't really drink it, and people have gotten to the point where it's just so extreme that they start killing one another people. I mean, it's just this universe that is so terrible, but somehow there are certain civilizations that manage to prosper and survive. So each Fallout game kind of builds on that. So you're, like I said earlier, you're in an area of the United States and you're focused on helping people. So a lot of it is, for instance, when you first in Fallout 1, you're supposed to get like a water chip because the vault that you're in, something happens and you need that water chip or else everybody's going to die, which is why you leave the vault and you do things. So Fallout New Vegas is kind of one where you are a courier. You've been shot in the head by some mysterious person who took something away from you, and your goal is to get that thing back. Fallout 4, a family member's of yours was stolen. So you go out and you get that. So that's kind of the premise of how you start the game. But a lot of that is when you go out and explore, you find these separate little civilizations that are just growing and prospering, which is really cool. One of my personal favorites is the Fallout New Vegas game. I think that that was probably the first Fallout game I actually played, which is why it's my favorite. But Fallout New Vegas was developed by Obsidian Entertainment. So in this game, as I kind of mentioned earlier, you play as a courier, a character with no pre-established background, giving players total freedom to shape the narrative. And this setting is in the Mojave Wasteland. It is a fascinating battleground for competing factions like New California Republic, Caesar's Legion, and Mr. House. So unlike other games, New Vegas is heavily emphasized by faction politics, and your choice determines the fate of the region. So Fallout New Vegas is probably kind of the oddball of the game because, I mean, Bethesda had a hand in developing it, but it was mostly Obsidian Entertainment. But this game I think it's the only one where you're not directly from a vault. You're just a little guy who is delivering packages, and then somehow you end up with a very particular package, and it just develops from there. But there are a lot of different factions that you can side with or go against with, and that kind of determines the end of the game, depending on what factions you aggravate or kill off or side with. That kind of determines the game. And that's not necessarily how the other games play. I mean, I guess in the earlier Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, that's kind of the premise. But in Fallout 4, you're kind of just a lad and you could influence those actions. I mean, you can join certain ones that'll affect the ending, but it's not, I mean, you could get away with just not even interacting with any of them and figuring out yourself. But Fallout New Vegas is definitely, I mean, I guess you can run it yourself. There's a lot of different endings that you can get in any of the games, but the factions are a big part of Fallout New Vegas. And I think that those factions are really interesting, because what I mean by factions is that those are part of the civilization. So people that have managed to survive, whether they themselves were in a bunker. But each faction represents a different vision of the future. So the NCR wants to rebuild the pre-war United States, but they're overextended and they're kind of corrupt. Caesar's Legion seeks to impose order through brutal authoritarian rule. And then Mr. House, he's the embodiment of technocratic elitism, trying to preserve the old world at any cost. So the brilliance of New Vegas is that there's no right choice. It's just different shades of survival. So that allows for multiple endings based on your decision, and every playthrough feels unique. Let's kind of shift gears into Fallout 3 and Fallout 4. So both of these games, developed by Bethesda, introduced a more action-oriented first-place experience. While Fallout 3 kept a lot of the RPG mechanics from the original games, it added real-time combat with the innovative VAT system. VATS allows you to slow down time and target specific body parts of the enemies to kill them quicker, which is what perception influences, usually. Fallout 4 took this further, so it improved the combat mechanics, added settlement building, where you could create and manage your own communities in the wasteland. So a lot of the games are just building off of one another. These games also focus deeply on personal stories. So in Fallout 3, you're searching for your father, who is played by Liam Neeson, which I think is kind of funny, as you uncover the mystery of Project Purity, a plan to provide clean water to the wasteland. So that's the premise of the whole Fallout 3. So basically, the vault that you've lived in your whole life, quote unquote, not really, you have lived there. You turn, I think it's like 18. Suddenly your dad disappears. Why? We don't know. I mean, we do. But that's why you leave the vault, is to find your dad. And basically, your dad, aka Liam Neeson, was not originally from Vault 101. That's the vault that you were born in, quote unquote, but not really. I guess I'm not sure if you're really... I have to look on that one a little bit further. But basically, your parents weren't originally from Vault 101. The overseer, who is the person who's in charge of the vaults, let him in. So for 18 years, you were just living there, and he kind of brainwashed you into thinking that that was your life because he wanted you to be safe from the outside world. But then he dips to kind of work on this plan that he worked on before that did not end up well. And that was Project Purity, aka providing clean water to the wasteland. So that's all of Fallout 3. You interact with different characters, you try to find your dad, you go to different places, blah, 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 blah. In Fallout 4, the quest is even more emotional and family-based as you try to find your kidnapped son in a world full of synths. So Fallout 4 explores robots a lot more, and synths are artificial humans that raise questions about identity and what it means to be alive. So the game starts with you living in the 1950s, living your best life, blah, 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 you have a kid, I always play as the woman, so I have my husband and my son, and the bombs immediately drop. You run into the Vault 111, and the Vault Tech experiments in that one was that you were cryogenically frozen. So that was the experiment, is how long could we preserve humanity through cryostasis? And basically through that, you are awoken a little bit and your son is kidnapped and your husband is shot. You're refrozen. A couple years later, you're unfrozen. And that's when you explore the world trying to find your son. So since is something that has been mentioned They mention it a little bit in Fallout 3. I don't know if they've talked about it in any of the other games, but basically synths are robots, but they're very human-like. So basically synths have taken, well, they were created by using the perfect quote-unquote DNA. So DNA that's been untouched by radiation, and that's how they made synths. So synths, look, a lot of the morals of Fallout 4 is that people are freaked out by that because synths have kind of infiltrated society, so you don't know if somebody's human-human or if they're a human robot. So that's kind of the big dealio in Fallout 4. Fallout 76 was the most recent one, and that one was released in 2018, and that represents a major shift for this series. It's the first fully online multiplayer Fallout game, and while it had a rocky launch, with technical issues and a lack of NPCs, Bethesda has made significant improvements over time. Now with expansions like Wastelander, which is a DLC, Fallout 76 feels closer to the single-player experiences that fans love, with NPCs, new quests, and a focus on rebuilding society and the Appalachian wasteland. So Fallout 76 was kind of... I didn't like it. I think I pre-ordered it and I was so excited to play it. And I'm not the person who's really excited about multiplayer and online, but I was like, oh, I'll still be able to play just me, myself, and I, because it's a Fallout game. Wrong. So basically, there just weren't any people. There were bad guys, and you, different areas made you bad, like harder characters. It was just really complex. I think I got to level 12 and I quit. I was like, this is just too hard. You also can't really save. No, you can save in the game, but you have to like sleep. So it's kind of like survival mode, which I just like to live my life. I like to be able to save. If I make a bad choice, I can reload. That's how I play games, which is not how a lot of people play games. But thankfully Bethesda took in the critiques of people, because a lot of people didn't like that aspect of that it was just a world where you really didn't have any characters to interact with. It was just actual people playing the game. You could just say, hey, what's up? But they didn't actually do anything to the game. Like, there wasn't really a story. You just were there to play it. So NPCs are non-playable characters. Those are characters that you interact with that influence your story, but those add so much to the story. Now there is a story. So that was why. Thankfully, it's gotten better. I should replay it again. But for heard good things. I haven't actually played it, though. Oh, again, I played it at the beginning, but not again. So what makes Fallout stand out among other post-apocalyptic games? So it's not just a world or the characters or even the special system. It's really the way the series blends hope and despair, humor and tragedy, player freedom and consequence. Each game in the series asks the player to make impossible choices, to reflect on what it means to survive, to navigate a world that feels eerily familiar despite all the bad guys that are in the game. So at its heart, Fallout is a reflection of our own anxieties about the future, about technology, war, and humanity's ability to adapt and endure, which is why nearly 30 years after its first release, the Fallout universe continues to captivate gamers around the world, me included. As always, Fireside Aces Radio is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine, published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experiential and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view. So thanks for joining me today on this journey through the Fallout universe. I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into one of gaming's most iconic post-apocalyptic worlds. This is your host, Cece, and I'll see you next week. Ta-ta!